But the drastic change I've seen, the number one positive influence it's had, beyond all the other positive influences, is that by using this program, the students are starting to ask more meaningful and contextual questions.
This is Transforming Learning.
Hey, it's Zach, and I need to interrupt a moment because we are doing an incredibly exciting thing that requires your participation. Once a month, we will be featuring a teacher challenge on an episode and attempting to tackle the challenge between the four of us on the show. We want to hear from you about the challenges you might be facing in your classroom this year. Every teacher featured will receive a gift card, and at the end of the school year, we will draw a name randomly from all those who shared to award a $100 gift card. To share a challenge and earn a chance to win, simply call our number and leave a message. That number is 616-965-6606. Again, 616-965-6606. Welcome back to the show. I'm Zach. I'm sitting with Eric today, and we're going to be talking about a conversation, Eric, that you had with Nick Denault, specifically in some of his strategies around math instruction. But before we get to that, Eric, tell us about Nick a little bit.
So Nick is a high school algebra teacher. He's been at Lakeshore for 4 years now, and he is incorporating math workshop. And so you'll hear a little bit about kind of the structure and the takeaways that he and his students have seen. But yeah, Nick comes from a background of both math and theater. And so in his classroom, he's a very dynamic teacher in his classroom. And through the workshop model, especially now, he's really been able to engage those students and involve a lot more math vocabulary, a lot more collaboration. And as you hear, you'll hear him talk about the students are able to contextualize the math and apply it into more everyday situations, but then also use that vocabulary. So yeah, we'll have a listen to Nick Denault with his math workshop.
Nick Denault, thanks for being with me on the podcast today.
Love it. It sounds very cool. I can't wait.
So, Nick, I understand, I haven't had a chance to visit your classroom, but I understand that you are incorporating some math workshop. And so I'd love for you to kind of share that out. But maybe before we begin, Nick, if you could share a little bit about who you are, your background, where you're from.
So I've been at Lakeshore for a little while. I have an extensive background teaching theater. Running a theater program.
Okay.
And also math.
Math the last, and theater.
I know. It's like the weirdest thing, though. It makes me a very dynamic math teacher sometimes.
Yeah.
A lot of jokes, I guess. So, yeah. So that's my background. I've been at Lakeshore here for now for 4 years. And one thing that I stumbled across in all my research was kind of taking math into more of a workshop mode.
Okay.
So we've kind of been going in that direction this year.
Okay, yeah. Many of our elementary teachers, they're starting or maybe they have incorporated some math workshop. Definitely, we see a lot of elementary doing reading or writing workshop.
Sure.
But math workshop is a little bit different.
It is. It is. And as you get more and more accelerated, as the content becomes harder and a little bit more dense when you get to high school, I teach Algebra 2 and data analysis here.
So, Nick, what's it look like in your classroom then? At a high school algebra level, math workshop, can you maybe explain to our listeners what's a math workshop look like at your level?
Great question. And we're still kind of fleshing it out because it is a different concept. And I did a bunch of research this summer about grading practices in advanced mathematics and like just the way the classroom looks. So the one thing I didn't want to do was have too radical of a change too fast.
Yeah.
Because then you can find yourself up the creek, right?
Sure.
Without a paddle. And you don't want to do that. So I wanted to kind of branch out, and I kind of got the inspiration over the past couple of years from tutoring college students.
Okay.
And I realized that the college students were using a lot of web-developed software to do their drill and practice. They were using things like WebAssign or MathExcel,
okay,
which are just instructive tools for their homework, but it did a lot for them. And I thought to myself, what if we could give the students fewer drill and practice questions, but actually make them more meaningful. Mm-hmm. What if they knew right away what they did wrong and they could ask questions about their thinking, right? Mm-hmm. So my classroom, what I decided was I wasn't going to change a lot of the direct instruction. We're still going to do a bunch of that because I didn't want them to have too much of a shock. Like, okay. This isn't the way it's done.
Yep.
And they're already apprehensive about math. We talk a lot about math anxiety in my class, and they're already apprehensive, a lot of them. So I wanted to make sure that they still felt supported and comfortable, that it was still traditional in a lot of ways to give them that support. But what I did without kind of telling them is that we started incorporating this this digital program through our textbooks that allowed us to do – it took the focus off of the drill and practice. Okay. And put it more on the mathematical dialogue. So we do a lot of stuff in my classroom now. We'll have several days every week where we just talk. The students will work in groups. The students will work with us. We'll do problems together. But the drastic change I've seen, the number one positive influence it's had, beyond all the other positive influences, is that by using this program, the students are starting to ask more meaningful and contextual questions. Instead of like, Julie has a question, I'm going to tell everybody about this question and we're going to use class time to do it.
Yep.
I'm now dealing with students one-on-one asking questions about, Mr. Null, why is this negative? Or why would you divide that here? Or what is this question, you know, what is the rate of change? Or what does the question here mean? And why would we use it here? They're asking questions about the content rather than just kind of a blanket, like a blanket class where I explained it to everybody whether they needed that question or not, which is really, really, really transformed learning in the classroom.
And so are they asking you those questions?
Absolutely.
What about their peers? Are they?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, the way you guided it. Like, yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, it's even better because it's not just about me. I wanted to free myself up to help those students who are really struggling, right?
Yeah.
So, and I don't need to tell 30 students at a time the answer to number one, because 28 got it and two didn't. So I need to work with those two. So we use this because it's really not about right or wrong in mathematics. I know that sounds weird, but it's really about that thinking. If you can start engineering your thinking, you're going to get to the right answers. But we got to guide that a little bit better. So yes, they ask questions of each other. The other thing this program does, which is great, is that I'm not giving one worksheet to the whole class.
Uh-huh.
Every problem for every student is different.
Okay.
They're the same context, they're the same idea, but one will switch a 5 with a 2, or the other one will have a positive graph and one will have a negative graph.
Yeah.
It'll constantly, and every time they load into this program, it'll be a different question.
What is that program you're using, Nick?
We're using MathExcel. It's a Pearson product. It's called MathExcel for School. It's a school version of it. And we already had access to it. And now we have one-to-one Chromebooks here. Mm-hmm. And we have the support of, you know, CBD and the district. So we can use this program. And again, it's individualized learning for every student. But that's really like what did it for me is that each student can no longer say, hey, what's the answer to number 3? They have to say, how did you do number 3?
Okay,
like, where did you get your answer? I see your problem. Mine's different, but the same.
Right.
What did you do to solve it? And I hear conversations way more at this leg of my career than ever before about, oh, well, you know, you forgot to add 3 to both sides. Like, you are contextualizing those questions.
They're working through the solving, the process of it. That's powerful.
Yeah. It's very, very transformative for them to have those conversations. And they do a little bit less problems. Like, we don't do as many.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter. They're doing them deeper. And that's really what we were aiming for.
So, Nick, you said you still have a lot of direct instruction.
Yeah,
so take us through a standard maybe class period or within a week. How do you structure that with the direct instruction versus the MathExcel time
Love
and
it.
Those conversations?
So we'll take it by, let's say we take a section. Like, we just got done doing the quadratic formula using advanced quadratics. So like, it's a section of the book. So for that section, I'll assign roughly 18 to 20 MathExcel questions at the beginning of the week. So students, some of them don't need me. Some of them don't need each other. Some of them are done with that before I'm done with my lecture on day one, right? So some of them don't, like, we're just kind of in the way. They're going to get it. They're really engaged students, and it allows those students to work ahead. So now we're individualized learning, right?
Yep.
They can move ahead, go backwards. My curriculum is already there. They can wait for me if they need to. I'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
And they can ask for questions when we have workshop models. So they always have that support, but they can work ahead. But they can also, it's a lot harder to fall behind because they got a lot more time to do these assignments. So if we're doing 4.7 as an example, which we just got done with, we would have probably a day or two of notes and direct instruction. So on day one, we would do probably the intro lesson to that. Like, what's the basics? So what are the basics of what we're doing, the mechanics?
Okay.
And we would do some sort of digital lesson using Desmos or something to kind of engage them, graphs, charts, kind of break it up a little bit. So day one would be very, very traditional. On day two, we'd probably extend those notes. Okay, what happens if we get a little bit more complicated or we need to add some context to this, right? And then on day three, we would go into the workshop model. So on that day three, okay. It's like we all know the basics and we all know the mechanics now. Let's apply them.
Okay.
So the students would get into groups or they would work individually, their choice, so they don't have any pressure on themselves. And they would begin to work through the Math Excel questions. So instead of forcing them to do it at home, they still can 24/7 access because of being one-to-one here at our school. But they would start, we would have that engaging conversation, would say, okay, let's all look at number four. And I would throw it up on the board, right? But mine is different than all of theirs.
Oh,
okay. Right? So everybody's is different. So I say, okay, but we've all seen this type of question and here's how we go through it. So I can always feel, which I never felt before, by the way, until after an assessment, then you kind of know. But as they're working, if six, seven, eight kids ask me about number six in Math Excel, I go, there's something about that question that's getting them. Let's look at that question.
Because it's essentially the same standard.
Exactly, yep. Exactly the same.
Okay.
Instead of y equals 3x plus 6, mine would be y equals 7x minus 4.
Yeah.
So it's the same idea, the same format, and I can choose the questions, right? It's completely created by me. I can scaffold it the way I want. I can remediate it the way I want. I can kind of engineer this Math Excel to be the exact style of question that I want, including some story problem questions, deeper learning questions.
Yeah.
And I can put as many in or as few in as I would like for that particular day. And then the students would work on it. So the workshop model really comes in with that program because it forces them to all be looking at a similar concept but with different questions. And we really wanted to engage that dialogue.
You said you've kind of waited in this, so it's not as big of a shift. What are the students? What kind of feedback are you getting from the kids as far as this new approach to math?
Well, between my new grading rubric, which again I researched, did a lot of research, and we got a few teachers here using that as well. I kind of got some people on board. Between that and the workshop model, my grades have improved. I'm going into the first exam period. We're on trimesters here with the highest set of grades that we've ever had.
Congratulations!
Thank you. It's not about me. It's not about me. But a lot of it is that we're trying to take out the stigmas of math with replacing it with actual critical thinking. And that's still real hard, man.
Yeah.
It's real hard to get these kids to think.
Yep.
They don't want to. Easy way out. Grab the calculator.
It's tougher to think, right?
It is the path less chosen.
Yeah.
So we're still trying to do it, and that's our battle. But the student feedback is overwhelmingly positive.
Good. Nice.
Their grades are doing well. They know they're dealing with difficult mathematical concepts, but they're still getting it eventually. Again, for like this digital program, we have this workshop. Even though we dedicate class time to it, all of my digital assignments are due Sunday at midnight, so they have a schedule.
Okay.
Which begs, like I said, I'll release it Monday, usually two lessons per week. And then they have the entire week till Sunday at midnight to do it. Now, we're going to have some class time. We'll go over it. But the student who doesn't need me will work ahead. Mm-hmm. And the student who is behind might take them into the weekend when they have more time to dedicate to it. So it's kind of those practices. Like, students aren't always going to understand math on day one.
Yeah.
And I have a very, very generous late policy. I don't penalize very much at all. Just a little bit to encourage them to work on time and keep up. But it also allows them to say, you'll get it when you get it, and that's okay, but we need you to get it. So students who are behind or have other things going on in their lives, they always have this ability to kind of catch up in my class, which is really also very powerful for them. So the students in my room, and that's my big thing, and that's what they'll tell you, is that they feel very supported. They feel very, it sounds cheesy, but it's that nurturing, like, we're all here together. I know you don't like it, but we're going to do it, and it's going to be okay. And the kids are responding very, very well. They like the workshop model, even though they get annoyed most days because they have to think. But they see their performance improving, and they're actually going into the exams in my career the first time as positive as they can be based on this whole process. So for in the last 4, 5, 6 years, this is the best it's ever been going into exams.
Powerful. Period. Nice.
I love it. I love it.
Nick, thanks for sharing. And hopefully some of our listeners are maybe questioning some of this in their own classroom. And if they want to, learn more about what you're doing,
for sure,
connect with you, what's a good way for our listeners to maybe reach out and contact you?
The primary way, you can go to the Lakeshore Public Schools, Lakeshore High School website, and find me, Nick Denault, math teacher there. You can email me at ndenault@lsps.org.
Okay.
If you email me and want to talk on the phone, once you send me that email, I'll give you a call or a tweet or whatever you want to do. We can go from there. But it's always the easiest way to make sure that I see it each and every day.
Okay, awesome. Nick, thanks again for sharing some great stuff.
Well, Wow, Eric, what a great conversation with Nick, especially just thinking about how math instruction looks differently in certain models and certain strategies. I would love to hear your reaction after you talked with Nick and now just considering those ideas again. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, thanks, Zach. So, you know, I think in working with so many teachers that we do, especially with math, that struggle of trying to have that conversation and the application of math it's a struggle that we hear from a lot of teachers. And so the way that Nick sets us up with, you know, having that conversation and giving them the opportunity to use their knowledge and the vocabulary to really discuss more of the math and even the concepts, more importantly, the concepts of math. I think that's a huge shift for students, but it's really what we're hearing is what they need, right? You know, as Nick said, many of the students, they're feeling burned out. They're just used to that drill and practice. So in this case, he's not having as many questions, as he mentioned, but he's having deeper conversations. And it's not just the whole, okay, let's all do the same problem, and now let's check our answers. No, everybody's got a different problem, so they're learning the process individually. But now when he's bringing together either whole group or in smaller groups, they're having to work through the process, the math process there, and really talk about it instead of the problems that they had on a specific joint problem there.
Right, and you said conceptually. So if I show you an example on the board, you know, the ideas here that we're not working on the same problems, but we are working on the same ideas, so we can talk about it at a higher level because of that.
Correct, yeah. And, you know, even the idea that Nick brought up that students are asking more meaningful contextual questions. He threw out some ideas of, well, why is it like this? Or why do we get this this answer if we solve it in this way? So they're asking much deeper critical thinking type of questions instead of, well, what did I get wrong? And so that in math, I think is really huge. Just that dialogue, whether it's, you know, the student talking to Nick directly one-on-one or as a whole class or in small groups, there's much more of the conversation there in a math class, which honestly, you don't see a whole lot.
Certainly, Eric. And one of the key advantages here in what Nick was articulating was the opportunity for students to receive instant feedback. And he mentioned in the context specifically of the application they're using. So the technology tool itself can tell them whether their answer is right or wrong instantly, which we know is a great advantage, but also in his conversations with students. So the tool can tell them right and wrong feedback, and possibly a little more than that, but he can be right there on their shoulder talking to them directly and having a more substantial opportunity to speak into it as well.
Yeah, exactly, Zach. Yeah, whether he's having his students use the Math Excel program, as he mentioned, or just even being able to be freed up. So as he explained kind of his structure, he still has that direct instruction time, whole class. But then as the kind of the week goes through, if you will, he's able to sit down one-on-one with students and either ask them those questions or give them the opportunity to ask those deeper probing questions of him. Or as he mentioned too, an opportunity for kids to work in groups and being able to dialogue back and forth and have those critical thinking questions built into just a group conversation there. So I think that feedback, whether it's through the technology, and honestly, that's a really nice way to use technology, is to get that instant feedback if it's applicable. But in this case, you're not going to be able to ask those why questions of a Chromebook or a laptop. So Nick is now freed up to be able to sit one-on-one or dialogue with a group of students, which, again, moving away from that direct instruction, that's an opportunity that you can start to facilitate that instead of being stuck at the front and directing all the kids on the same problem or set of problems.
Yeah. So I have one more comment, I think. One more question I want to throw at you about all of this is, Nick made the comment, you'll get it when you get it, in reference to, you know, students don't learn things at the exact same time and the same pace. And sometimes it just takes a while for something to click, and for other times it just comes naturally. So I'm curious, just your reflection, Eric, on pacing and time.
Yeah, good point there, Zach. So, you know, as he said, he's really moving more towards a mastery of the learning. And I think that's a huge step that definitely those kids, as he already said, he will start the instruction and some of the kids just get it. So, okay, let's have them move deeper into it. But now he can work with those kids that need more time, or they need more maybe independent or direct instruction there. And so by having this math workshop opportunity, and again, whether it's math or, as we mentioned, reading is used by a lot of elementary teachers, you're able to sit there and really support those kids that are your struggling kids, if you will. Maybe your middle kids can have more conversations and get into that deeper conversation. And then your higher kids, that's certainly where you can extend their learning or have them work together on deeper type of problems. So as he said, he's differentiating, even individualizing their instruction in this math workshop approach.
Yeah, creating the kind of experience that meets needs as they arise and helps the students achieve the fundamental goals.
Right. Yep. Yep.
Well, certainly if the ideas shared in this episode strike you in any kind of practical way, we always encourage listeners to reach out to the guests hosted, which is why we offer to share their contact information. But also, as you well know, our team is here to support teachers and educators trying to develop ideas in their own classrooms. So always feel free to reach out to us, and we'd love to talk more. Find us at cbdconsulting.com/elevateedu. Thanks again for listening. If you haven't yet deduced, at CBD, we believe the best kind of professional growth comes from conversations with other professionals. So we have devoted ourselves to ensuring any educator anywhere can have that opportunity. Our virtual coaching service guarantees that. Check us out on cbdconsulting.com/elevateedu. You can share thoughts with just an email or quick text, or dive right into a conversation by phone or video chat. We look forward to hearing from you.